Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at StanLib. There are murmurs of the fact that we are going to come off the grey list soon. How real is this possibility?
Hi, Bronwyn. It's a distinct possibility. So let's just quickly back up and look at the progress. Remember, we were put on the grey list in February 23. So we've been on the grey list effectively for, let's say, 2.5 years. Obviously, before then, we were warned about going onto the grey list, right? So we were given about a year to try and rectify various issues. We made some progress, but it wasn't anywhere near enough. And so we went on to a grey list in February, and we've been on the grey list for two and a half years. And in those 2.5 years, we've been trying to rectify the issues that were raised by the Financial Action Task Force. There were 22 issues in total, and we systematically made progress. Then in June this year, the Financial Action Task Force put out a report, and in the report they said South Africa has made, and they used the word substantial progress, or has mostly completed. That type of wording was used. But at the time, they said we needed to, they needed to conduct a site visit, which meant they had to visit South Africa and see for themselves some of these developments, which they then did in July. And at the end of July, the National Treasury put out a press release about the site visit. And in that press release, they said that the site visit had gone well. And therefore, the next step is the meeting on 24 October. So this month, the Financial Action Task Force has a plenary meeting where all their members come together and they've got various agenda items. And one of those items is the removal of South Africa from the grey list. So on that basis, there would be a decent expectation that we would be removed from the grey list. It's not a guarantee. There's no absolute certainty here. And there is a little bit more recently a twist to the story, which I think is important to explore. But at this stage, there's a reasonable expectation of moving off the grey list on the 24th of October.
When you say there's an avenue that we need to explore further, a twist, let's pick up there.
So if you look at when they completed this report back in June, yes, we had made substantial progress, but the latest Commission of Inquiry into, let's call it the policing system in South Africa, has uncovered a lot of additional issues, big issues relating to an element of corruption, certainly maladministration, and it does appear at this stage that those issues are fairly broad. Now, that's exactly the type of thing that the Financial Action Task Force flagged as not being addressed. And so there is some risk here that they look at the police commission, they look at the information that's coming out of that, and they say, let's hold off on this. Let's wait and see what develops from this commission, and let's see what the authorities in South Africa are doing about it. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to solve every single money laundering case and every single state capture case. That's unrealistic. But they clearly want to know that you're making progress in that direction. And so we would have to, I think, at least assure those authorities that whatever is uncovered within the police commission, that we will action it, that it's not simply going to be a report that goes nowhere, that there will be some follow-up that results. So I think that's an important unknown that has crept in more recently. Could we come off the grey list, then find ourselves back on the grey list? That's not impossible. Logically, it would simply say, don't take us off the grey list if you are that unsure.
Is it possible to quantify the impact that being on the grey list since 2023 has had on us?
It's impossible to say in value terms or in growth terms, but what we do know is that it has added a significant layer of cost to doing business, particularly internationally. And South Africa is effectively a small open economy. By that, I mean more than 50% of South Africa's GDP is either imported or exported. So all of those transactions required a higher level of administration. In other words, you had to submit a lot more paperwork, you had to wait a lot longer, all of that cost significantly more. So it added a meaningful layer of cost, and it forced particularly the banking system to then devote more resources to ensuring that we complied with the grey list requirements. And I've got no doubt that if you look at the growth rate since 23, where our growth rate has been very depressed, I've got no doubt that the grey list contributed to that. The other area is...
Well, absolutely, because if you think about it, contributors of foreign direct investment are looking at territories that are safe to deploy their capital. And it's surely a red flag if you are already being scrutinized because you are potentially breaking the rules.
Absolutely. So you get put into a basket with other countries. Remember, we're not the only country on the grey list. There's somewhere between 20 and 25 countries on the grey list. None of those countries would really be high up on an investment list, right? Nigeria is on the grey list, South Sudan, Syria. A lot of those countries, foreign investors would typically avoid. Now, for a G20 country, South Africa is a G20 country, to be on that list is an embarrassment as far as I can see. But what it does is it flags to the international community that you're included in that group of countries. You seen in a similar way. So we've seen over that time a lack of investment in our bond market. We've seen a lack of investment in our equity market. We've seen a lack of a foreign direct investment. So I've got no doubt that in the mix of things, it's contributed to South Africa's sluggish economic performance, which then speaks to the opportunity cost. What have we lost out as a consequence of being on this grey list, and how much foreign investment would we have attracted? So I've got no doubt it's hurt us. Exactly how much? Difficult to quantify. I've also got no doubt that if we come off the grey list, that would be seen as a positive for South Africa in terms of our international status. And given that there are increased efforts being made by the government to try and improve South Africa's growth rate, try and improve municipal service delivery, there are various issue policies that are being put in place. So coming off the grey list at this point in time would be very beneficial, and maybe it would boost confidence and give foreigners a little bit better perspective on South Africa.
But as you say, the curveball is certainly the Commission of Inquiry currently underway in South Africa. And if we're talking red and green flags, that may just loom, as you said earlier, as a huge red flag.
Yeah, so it's something that the Financial Action Task Force can't ignore, because it seems to be revealing a much greater scope for corruption. And obviously we know a lot from the state capture inquiry, but this is a different type of maladministration corruption, and maybe the task force feels that we haven't adequately addressed that. There's no doubt that in terms of prosecutions we're not up to the level we should be. So what the authorities have had to convince the Financial Action Task Force is that this is under control. In other words, we are in the process of investigating and court cases will follow, etc. Now you've got a whole lot more that you potentially got to investigate. There will be questions being asked. Have we got the ability? Have we got the political will to investigate this? How far does it reach? Is the president implicated? All kinds of topics will come out of this. So I'm not, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, I was very confident that we'd come off the grey list. I'm slightly less confident, but I guess we've got to hope that we do come off and that the authorities deal with the current issues around the police system.
Kevin Lings, Chief Economist, Stanlib, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.